Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Hillshire Brands Company today says it will hold separate talks with Pilgrim's Pride Corporation and Tyson Foods Incorporated, who have each offered to buy the maker of Jimmy Dean sausage and Sara Lee desserts. Hillshire's announcement comes after the Wall Street Journal reported Monday night that Pilgrim's Pride had raised its bid for Hillshire to $55 a share, topping Tyson's $50 a share offer. Pilgrim's Pride had initially offered $45 a share for Hillshire last month before Tyson got in on the action. Panera says it will remove artificial colors, flavors, sweeteners, and preservatives from its food by 2016. The chain of bakery cafes, which has about 1,800 U.S. locations, is making the pledge as part of a food policy that outlines its commitment to clean and simple ingredients. An Iowa company has agreed to pay $6.8 million in fines for selling old eggs with false labels for years, as well as the tainted products that caused a nationwide salmonella outbreak in 2010. Quality Egg LLC, one of the nation's largest egg producers, is expected to plead guilty today to charges of bribing a U.S. Department of Agriculture inspector to approve sales of poor quality eggs, selling misbranded eggs, and introducing adulterated food into interstate commerce.
Support for agricultural weather comes from Busey. Busey and its associates remain committed to lending a helping hand, with contributions of more than $1 million and countless volunteer hours each year to better the communities where we live and work. Busey, your dream, our promise.
A favorable mix of weather will occur across the U.S. Midwest as we move forward through this next full week to week and a half. There shouldn't be any huge issues in front of most of the region. We do still have some late planting that needs to be completed, but I think that the field work will manage to get done around what precipitation is expected to occur. But we do have also a little bit of a cooler air mass expected to seep into parts of the north central U.S. and parts of the northwestern Corn Belt as we finish out this week and move into the weekend, and that will slow down drying rates. So that's the only negative issue that I can see at this point in time. Most of the precipitation that falls across the upper Midwest and the northern plains will be somewhat lighter intensity than that which we saw over the past week, and that'll be helpful in allowing for some drying to take place across the region between weather events. In the meantime, there will be two waves of significant rain across the lower portions of the Midwest. This first wave is already getting underway this morning, and it's actually not in the lower Midwest, but it will eventually get there. This is in South Dakota and Nebraska, and these thunderstorms that are occurring there will intensify quite a bit as we go through the day today and become a significant precipitation event for Iowa as we go into the afternoon, evening, and overnight hours. We'll end up with some 1 to 3 and some local 4-inch plus amounts of rainfall across parts of that region, and those storms will work their way into west central Illinois by tomorrow morning. We'll see similar amounts of heavier rainfall occurring in that region at that time. The storms will continue to move east-southeastward from there during the day tomorrow. They will lose some intensity during the daylight hours, or at least during the late morning and early afternoon. We will see the precipitation intensify again tomorrow evening and tomorrow night as the thunderstorms finally reach into southern Ohio and parts of eastern Kentucky. Following this particular round of thunderstorms, there will be a series of thunderstorms that will impact portions of Kansas and Missouri in particular. This will occur Thursday into Saturday, and enough rain will fall in the multiple waves of rain that will end up with some saturated soil and some localized flooding possible. Rain totals of 1 to 3 and some local 4 and 5 inch amounts may occur across some of that region. The precipitation will probably not cause a lot of serious flooding because the ground down deep is not that wet and will be able to absorb a lot of the moisture because it occurs over 3 days instead of all at once over a 1 24-hour period of time. In the second week of the two-week week forecast across the Midwest, we're still expecting more of the same, a good balance between rain and sunshine. It'll probably be less intensity in the rainfall that occurs in the second week of the outlook, and there may also be a little bit of a return of warmer weather. The temperatures are going to turn quite a bit cooler later this week, and high temperatures in the northern plains may fall into the upper 50s and 60s during this latter part of the week, Thursday and Friday in particular. We may see some low temperatures in Montana and portions of North Dakota getting down into the middle and upper 30s, but not in key crop areas of the Midwest. In fact, the Midwest low temperatures will not be any cooler than mostly the 40s and some 50s during the cooler days. But we will see some afternoon highs limited to the 70s with some 60s in the northwestern parts of the region during the cooler days at the end of this week. There will be a warming trend that will take place as we move towards the late weekend and early part of next week, and as the warmer air returns, we'll probably have an increased possibility of rain and thunderstorms once again, and that just perpetuates the favorable pattern that we've just got through discussing. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. Alongside me is Les Schulte, and Les, we are in day two of our June jumpstart, and June is by far the most important month of the year for us in terms of garnering support for all the programs that our listeners enjoy.
It sure is, Dave. And the reason is because this is the last month of the year for us. So I was going to say, if somebody's like getting out of the shower, or maybe just waking up or something, and hear us talking about the last month of the year,
they're probably going,
is it December already? I thought it was May just a couple of days ago. And you would be right. It was May just a couple of days ago. This is June. This is our last month. Our new fiscal year starts on July the 1st. And the way we do things, the money that we have in the bank on June the 30th, that's the money we have to spend on programs and services for our listeners for another year. So that's why this is an important month. We started the month with a gap of about $350,000 to close up that budget gap. That's why we're having this June Jumpstart campaign, and we jumped off to a great start.
Okay.
We've raised over $80,000.
Oh, that's wonderful.
In the last couple of days. We want to thank everybody. We certainly want to thank Gene and Durango from Urbana, who have just recently called and made that pledge of support. Thank you very much. And so now we're asking you, if you use the services, the news, the information, especially the agricultural service. I'll get to you, Dave. I'll get to you. Especially the agricultural services. I'm working on a bit here.
All right.
Now, services. Now we're asking you to call and make your pledge of support to WILL. Maybe you can make a $100 or $200 contribution and put that on your credit card, your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express.
217-244-9455 is the number to call. Be sure to mention agriculture when you do. That way that we'll get an accounting of where the money is headed. Oh, look at this cup I've got here. What does it say?
It says
my coffee cup.
Oh, life begins with the second cup.
And I've had this cup for a number of years. I truly believe this, and I'll tell you what, I believe farmers believe this too.
Well, I was going to say, do you think there's any farmers out there that like coffee?
I think many. and so that leads us to the idea that we have a little drawing going on today.
We do. We've had a great drawing. Mark Harriet from Columbia Street Roastery made us a great offer. He said, you know what, I'll give away a pound of coffee a month to someone who makes a call this morning to WILL. You know, we'll put everybody's name into a hat or some kind of receptacle of some kind and draw a winner out, and that person will receive 12 pounds of coffee.
Do you know how much space 12 pounds of coffee takes?
I think what you get is a certificate and you cash it in on a monthly basis. But yeah, I guess you could, you know, do 2 pounds over 6 months. I guess it's really sort of up to you. But right now, that's why we're encouraging you to make that call right now at 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. You don't have to make a contribution to get into the drawing, but we do hope you take this opportunity to do that, and we'll put your name in for the drawing to win 12 pounds of coffee from Columbia Street Roastery.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter July wheat 715 down 3 3/4. Soft July 620 down 3/4. July corn 462 down 3.5. December 454 3/4 down 3 3/4. July beans 1487 down 13.5. And November at 1218.5 are down 11.25. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
It looks like yesterday traders got everything they were anticipating in the crop production report and maybe even a little bit more.
Yeah, the planting pace was above expectations in the beans, and the good to excellent rating was above expectations in the corn. And so we have grains lower today. Remember, we tried early yesterday to have grains lower, and then they bounced. We actually had corn down to 51.5, and then went up at 60. They're at 54.75 right now. And the beans were back and forth yesterday also, but they are down, old crop down 13, new crop down 11, back at 12.18.5. That's about as low as we've been lately.
Well, there's nothing but ugly if you look at the technical pattern for
all ugly. That is correct. All ugly.
So I guess the question that we would have is between now and the end of the month, we're going to start really ratcheting up the guesses for what we actually got into the ground when we get to the end of the month reports. Our producers going to say more corn, our traders going to think more corn acres, less corn acres, more bean acres, less bean acres? What do you think?
I think they're going to think more corn acres than USDA had said. And I think they're also going to say more bean acres because we had a great planting time, and a lot of acres that didn't get planted last year got planted to something this year. So total acres more planted, more beans, and then also not as bad a corn number, a little higher than what USDA had.
So does this mean that we are likely to see an acceleration of a break in November soybeans, or are we going to do a wait and see, given that if you look at ending stocks in South America, they're really not all that stout?
Well, they're not, and the import pace is, I think, somewhere around 23 million. They need us to bring in about 90 for old crop to be not as tight, so that might help old crop, but we're still looking at 1460 to 70 is big support there. We hit 78 yesterday before going back up to 1511. You got to remember those things, and we've went over 15 like that three or four times just to drop back to the 80s. So old crop tight supply here is still going to help hold things. New crop though, acres and everything else, we could cut that down to 1180 real easy.
I guess what we're going to end up arguing about, as we have had in previous years for soybeans, is not a whole lot of beans, something between 100 and 200 million bushels, and that will determine how bearish or bullish we will be?
That's the old crop. Now, the new crop estimate with more acres and a big bushel per acre thing, they're talking 300 to 400. So that could push new crop down a bunch, where old crop could be held up some.
So November beans, I suppose, a key area might be to look at is what, 1206 or so?
1206 to 1204, the next one after that's 1183.
What does wheat have to say about all of this?
Wheat's starting a harvest soon, and harvest in wheat will help pull things down. Wheat worldwide is plentiful. Our wheat maybe has improved a little, but the Monday afternoon report didn't say it had, but expectations are the wheat won't be quite as bad here as people thought, and that's helped push it down. But just harvest approaching helps push things down, and the rest of the world has a good wheat crop.
Seems to me July wheat has a good shot at 610.
Yeah, 590 to 610.
What else are we keeping an eye on this week that might be important for us? I know it's all about weather. What else, though?
Weather is the biggest thing right now. I mean, the next report from USDA on everything, of course, but weather is a big thing. And right now, weather is rain makes grain, and good weather makes bigger crops. And the question is, how much acreage did we plant above USDA's estimates or below? And right now, it's all pretty much negative.
This is the first time in a number of years that we haven't had some sort of a weather scare in the marketplace, at least about this point in the summer.
Yeah. Well, between now and 4th of July can be all kinds of things happen. Memorial Day to 4th of July, and after 4th of July, then it might turn the other direction. You just don't know. It depends on the weather. Are we going to have dryness or heat? Right now, the heat's pretty well thrown out, but there are people still saying mid-June to mid-July will be pretty dry across the Midwest.
Thank you much, Pete.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhard of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. He is one of just 21, not just, but one of 21 analysts and meteorologists that regularly come and tell us what they think about the markets each and every week. And that's something that's quite unique. I do not believe you can go to any other radio station in the nation and get that kind of breadth of service, that many opinions, so that you can be informed and make a decision based on all of that information. If that's important, you go to your phone right now, won't you, and call 217-244-9455 with your gift of support. We'd like the $100 level, but you give what you feel is appropriate to, and suitable to your needs. But the most important thing is that you actually go to the phone and mention agriculture while you do that. That's also very important. 217-244-9455. And then you might even get a cup of coffee along the way.
You could get a cup of coffee. You might email get a cup of coffee for an entire year.
Yes.
Because Mark Harriet and the folks at Columbia Street Roastery are going to give away 12 pounds of coffee to one lucky winner this morning. Don't have to make a pledge when you do make that call. But when you do, I hope you do make that pledge and help support the services you use on WILL. 217-244-9455.